Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you again this morning as we gather on this Lord's Day to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just again, short announcement to apprise you of, as we have been announcing for the last several weeks, the women's fall gathering on November the 12th. Please mark that down and plan to be in attendance for that. Again, Alice Hughes will be here, and she will be answering questions and sharing her vast knowledge about estate planning. So it's a wonderful opportunity to come, to learn, to be prepared, and to ask questions about that very important topic. But again, that's going to be November the 12th. Alice will be speaking around 11 a.m. So again, please mark that down on in your calendars. Also, we will be having the pre-Thanksgiving dinner, preparing for that, which will take place on November the 20th. So there'll be more information about that as the in the coming week. So please mark that down on your calendar as well.
Our first scripture reading will be from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 27 through 34. In your pew Bibles, it would be found on page 680. Hear God's word for us. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that as I have watched over them to pluck up and break down, to overthrow, destroy, and bring evil, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. In those days they shall no longer say, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But every one shall die for his own sin. Each man who eats sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it upon their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each man teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Sounds awful quiet without Marjorie being here for some reason. I was going to lead the congregation in song this morning, but thought that wasn't a good idea. Sometimes I do that at the Protestant homes on the third Tuesday, and it doesn't come off well. I'm not much of a singer, but we give God thanks for being able to be here even without musical accompaniment. And we pray for Marjorie and for Larry, and pray that she'll be able to be with us next Sunday. We want to continue with our gospel reading this morning. We'll be reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. It's found on page 911 of your pew Bible, so let us listen to God's word this morning. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor regarded man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him saying, vindicate me against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will vindicate her, or she will wear me out by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God vindicate his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will vindicate them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? It's the word of the Lord. Amen. There was a young man who used to come here to play basketball. I say he was about 12 or 13 years old when he first showed up, maybe just a little bit older. But he wasn't very good at basketball, at least initially. He was somewhat clumsy, awkward, couldn't do any of the basic things very well, couldn't dribble, couldn't shoot, couldn't pass. He was chosen to play on a team, if he was chosen at all, somewhat reluctantly. No one wanted to choose him to play on their team. But he showed up every Wednesday anyway to play, whether he was chosen or not. One day he came and he asked if he could come in on an extra day during the week to practice, and I said, sure, you could come. And so he did. He would come in and practice. Sometimes he would come in by himself. Sometimes he would come in with a friend, but he would come in and practice dribbling, practice shooting, practice his game. He would spend a great deal of time practicing. And he became quite good, actually. In fact, he became one of the best players on the court. He learned how to shoot fairly well. He learned how to dribble. He could dunk the ball. He learned to be quite good at playing basketball. In fact, it was amazing to see his confidence in himself as he became one of the better players on the court. And none of it, of course, happened overnight. It took him a couple of years, 2 years maybe, but he became quite proficient in playing basketball, and I had to say that I admired his persistence. I admired his perseverance, because he could have easily have given up. He could have easily have lost heart. He could have given up the very few times when he was made fun of. He could have given up when no one wanted him to play on their team. He could have given up when he was embarrassed on the court. He could have given up quite easily, but he didn't. He kept at it. He was persistent. Sometimes you have to be persistent. You have to not give up. Seeing him reminded me of what Michael Jordan, the great basketball player, once said. Jordan said, I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I have failed over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed. What he was talking about, of course, was his perseverance, his persistence. He didn't in any way ever lose heart. Even in the midst of difficulties, even when he experienced failure, he never lost heart, never gave up. That's what Jesus is talking about in our gospel lesson this morning. Jesus wants us as God's people to be persistent. He wants us not to lose heart. He wants us to keep at it. Persistence, of course, is hard work. It requires discipline. It requires stick-to-itness. But that's what Jesus says. Do not lose heart. We live in an age of instant gratification. We live in an age that if we don't receive a payoff quickly, immediately, then we easily give up. We easily throw in the towel. I bought a gym membership some time ago with the intention of getting into shape. In the first week, I did pretty good. First week, I was did my jogging on and lifted weights and did all the things that was in my program that I devised to get in shape. Second week, I did pretty good as well, stuck to the program. But then in the middle of the third week, I started to become discouraged because I didn't see any immediate benefits. My waistline had still not shrunk. Sort of just lost heart. We're like that sometimes. We lose heart. But Jesus says that when it comes to our relationship with God, that when it comes to us trusting God, Jesus says, do not give up, pray, and do not lose heart. No matter how difficult things might be, no matter how long it may take, no matter how impossible things might look, do not give up, pray, and do not lose heart. And towards that end, Jesus does what Jesus often does best. He tells a story, a parable about a judge, an unjust judge. A judge, we are told, that doesn't care anything about God, doesn't care anything about human beings. He's a judge that does whatever he wants to do. Perhaps the only people he probably listens to are those who can pay him off or give him something. But he's an unjust judge, an unrighteous judge, a corrupt judge. But he's a judge that Jesus mentions in the parable. But in the same parable, there's also a widow who is looking for justice, a widow who is looking for vindication, who is looking for things to be made right. And in the Bible, widows are often a stand-in for the poor, a stand-in for the vulnerable, a stand-in for people who are powerless. Which means that this woman doesn't have anything to give to the judge. All she has is her persistence. She refuses to give up. Sometimes that's all the poor have. That's all vulnerable people have, is their persistence, their unwillingness to give up. Sometimes we don't like to listen to people's insistence on being treated rightly, on being given justice, but that's all that sometimes they have, and that's all that this widow woman has, is her persistence, her perseverance, her unwillingness to lose heart. And so day after day, she goes to the judge and she demands vindication. She demands justice. And finally, she wears him down. this unjust judge, this unrighteous judge. She wears him down, and he grants her request. He gives her what she wants because she was persistent. And we need to be clear this morning, Jesus is not saying in any way that God is like the unjust judge. That's the way we sometimes view God. We view God as being somewhat hard-hearted, like a hard-hearted judge, that we have to keep begging and begging and begging God to hear us. We have to keep begging and begging and begging God to do justice towards us. There's a phrase I often hear from time to time. People say, you know, I got one through, or I'm going to pray, maybe I can get one through, as if there's some kind of protective shield around God that protects God from our prayers and our petitions. But God is not in any way like this unjust God, like this unjust judge. God is a merciful God. God is a loving God. God is a gracious and compassionate God. God is a God who hears us and who wants nothing but the best for us. Yes, God's ways are often mysterious. Yes, God's ways are often not our ways. But the point that Jesus is making in our parable this morning is that if this unjust judge will grant justice to this poor, persistent widow, how much more will a loving, merciful God respond to the faithfulness of those who call upon him? And so Jesus says, pray. Pray and don't lose heart. Pray to the loving, gracious, merciful God. Don't give up. Don't give in. Pray. And don't lose heart. Prayer, of course, is an important part of the Christian life. We all know that we are people who are called to pray. Several years ago, I was told that there was a convent of nuns, and that's all they did 24/7 was pray. They would pray for the whole world 24/7. One of them, some of them were constantly praying. And I found that to be quite comforting in the midst of a topsy-turvy world, in the midst of a world filled with war, in the midst of a world filled with strife and violence, in the midst of a world where there is so much injustice that somewhere there's a group of nuns praying persistently, praying every day, praying for the whole world. Just as Jesus said, pray and not give up. Years ago, the great biblical commentator William Barclay told the story of a young woman, a domestic worker who worked long hours and didn't have time to volunteer much at her church. And so she decided that one thing she could do was pray, and that's what she did every night. Before she went to bed, she would take the newspaper and she would turn to that part of the paper where it announced newborn babies, and she would pray for each of the newborn babies there in the paper. And then she would turn to the section where there were weddings, where weddings were announced, and she would pray for each of the couple who the couples who were being married. She would pray for them and lift them up in prayer and pray that their marriages would be successful and fruitful, but she would lift them up and pray for them. Even though she didn't know them, she prayed. And then, of course, she turned to the obituary section in the paper, and she would pray for each family who was grieving the loss of a loved one. And that's what she did every day. She prayed persistently for others. And Jesus says that that's what we should do as well. We should pray persistently and not lose heart. But if we're honest with ourselves, we do often lose heart. If we're honest with ourselves, we sometimes do question whether God hears us. If we really believed in the power of prayer, you couldn't keep us off of our knees. If we really believed in the power of prayer to bring about peace, if we really believed in the power of prayer to bring about justice, if we really believed in the power of prayer to bring about the healing in the world, we would be praying constantly. No one could shut us up. We would be constantly praying. But Jesus says that's what we are called to do, to pray. Pray and not lose heart. I agree with William Willimon when he said that prayer is more than the words we say to God. Prayer is all the things that we do and say in our relationship with God. It's more than what we do when we go to our prayer closet. It's more than what we do when we pray for God's help when we're in trouble. It's more than what we do when we get down on our knees before we go to bed or when we wake up. Prayer is more than the words that we say, but prayer is also about what we do. Reading the Bible, studying the Bible is about prayer. Sometimes I run across people who say that they stop reading the Bible. And you ask, why have you stopped reading the Bible? Why have you stopped studying the Bible? And they say, well, the Bible, well, it's this old-fashioned book. It's not really very relevant to our lives today. I can't understand it. It was written a long, long time ago. But the whole point of studying the Bible and reading the Bible is not to lose heart, is not to give up. The more we study, the more we begin to understand, the more we read the Bible, the more it becomes a part of us. The more we read the Bible, the more we begin to understand what God is trying to tell us, the more we're able to make sense of our own lives and be able to make sense of the world. And so Jesus says, don't give up, don't lose heart. But read, pray and read the Bible, read the Word, study the Word, and don't give up. You know, prayer is about worship. Sometimes people just stop coming to church. They just give up. I don't get anything out of it. They just kind of give up and stop coming to worship. Sometimes they think that if they don't immediately experience the fruits of the Spirit, well, then church is not for them. And so they just stop coming. But Jesus says, be persistent. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Worship is about not about us so much as that it's about God. It's about lifting up God. But the more we lift up God, the more we worship, the more we ourselves are changed. And so Jesus says, don't give up. Be persistent. Don't stop coming to worship. But be persistent. Persevere. Prayer is about serving. It's about serving others. Sometimes that's hard. Sometimes it seems the more you serve people, that the more unappreciative people are, the more you're often taken for granted. Sometimes it seems like there's no fruits that are realized from serving. Sometimes you wonder if all of your efforts will come to any kind of fruitfulness. But Jesus says, don't give up. Don't stop serving. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. You never know how God is working things out in the hearts and minds of people. You never know and realize how God is moving in the midst of a community. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Don't become discouraged. Pray, serve, worship. And don't lose heart. I confess that when I read our gospel lection earlier this week for this Sunday, I let out a groan because I suspect that when we hear Jesus call us to pray and remind us of God's faithfulness to us, that our minds often hearken back to all the times that we prayed for something, maybe even prayed earnestly, and our prayers weren't realized. The relationship wasn't restored. The job didn't materialize. The cancer didn't go away. We prayed and we prayed and we prayed and nothing changed. But the prayer that Jesus is enjoining us to in our text this morning is not a to-do list that we give to God. We all know that sometimes God answers our prayers the way we want our prayers to be answered, and sometimes God does not. God has God's own purposes and ways and reasons. But again, the prayer that Jesus enjoins us to pray is not a to-do list that we give to God, but Jesus is calling us to pray for a particular thing. He is calling us to pray for something in particular. Remember, the woman in the parable is calling for justice. She wants justice. She wants righteousness. She is asking for justice. And that is what every first century Jew who heard this would have been praying for too. They would have been praying for God's justice. They would have been praying for God to act. When is God going to act? When is God going to do what God has promised to do? When is God going to keep God's promises? That's what God's justice was about. That's what God's righteousness was about. God's righteousness was God's willingness to keep God's promises. And that's what people would have been praying and anticipating and wanting. They would have been praying for God's coming kingdom. They would have been praying for God to restore the kingdom to Israel. They would have been praying for God's presence to be all in all. They would have been praying for the kingdom. And Jesus says, don't give up. Don't stop praying for that. Don't stop praying for the kingdom. Because God is a just God. God is a righteous God. God will not let you down. Stop losing heart. The interesting thing is that Jesus is the very embodiment of God's justice. He is the very embodiment of God's righteousness. That's what the Apostle Paul says in the book of the Romans. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of salvation for all those who believe, for the Jews first, but also for the Gentile, because in it the righteousness of God, the justice of God is being revealed. It didn't look like what people thought it was going to look like, but the justice of God, the righteousness of God is being revealed. And God's justice and righteousness is being revealed in all of us. It's being revealed in you, and it's being revealed in me. Whenever we persistently do what God has called us to do, whenever we persistently pray, whenever we persistently come to worship and worship together, whenever we persistently study the Bible, whenever we persistently serve our neighbors, whenever we persistently give, the righteousness and justice of God is being revealed in all of us. And so Jesus says, don't give up. Don't lose heart. The prophet Jeremiah said, the days are coming. The days are surely coming. The days are surely coming when God's righteousness will be all in all. The days are surely coming when God's love will pervade the whole world. The days are surely coming when God's righteousness and justice will fill the whole world. The days are surely coming when there be no more heartbreak. The days are surely coming when there be no more tears. The days are surely coming when death will be swallowed up. The days are surely coming. They are coming. So whatever you might be going through this morning, whatever heartbreak or tragedy may be making itself manifest in your life, don't lose heart. Don't give up. Be persistent. Because one day God's loving, gracious presence will be all in all. And you and I are the people right now who are called to make it present in this world in which we now reside. So be persistent. And don't ever, ever lose heart. Let us pray. Gracious God, help us to be your faithful, loving, gracious people. Help us to put our faith and trust in you. Help us to persevere and be persistent. Help us to live into your coming kingdom. Even now. And where we might be experiencing heartbreak, where we might be grieving loss, where we might be unsure about the immediate future, where the powers of debt may seem to rage, we know that those are not the last word, but the last word belongs to you. The last word belongs to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the word that you have given us this morning is not to lose heart. And so we pray that you will help us do just that, not lose heart. And we ask all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.